Hey there, podcast listener. Steven here from the podcast you're currently listening to. You ever heard a podcast and think, I can do that? Well, maybe you can, or maybe you can't. Or maybe I can help you get started with it. Hosting is the most expensive cost you'll have in a podcast, and that's why Anchor by Spotify is the easiest way to make a podcast. Really, they have everything you need all in one place. Anchor has tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. With Anchor's hosting, you can distribute your podcast to other listening platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and a whole lot more. And if you think you can do a better job than I, record a podcast right now. There's very low risk involved. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. And best of all, Anchor is free. Download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started today.
Archer of the battlecruiser Enterprise.
This is Christopher Pike of the USS Enterprise.
It's Captain James Kirk of the USS Enterprise.
This is Jean-Luc Picard, Captain of the Enterprise.
This is Captain Sisko of the USS Defiant.
Welcome, everybody, to The Away Team, a series that recaps each episode of Star Trek in canonical order with a bit of a twist. I'm Stephen Vargas.
I'm Adam Riley.
Welcome, everybody, to The Away Team podcast, our new podcast on the Lazy Geeks Network. Like, we don't have enough to do.
Yeah. I was like, you know, there's 1 week a month where we only do one podcast.
Yet I still do another podcast. And yeah.
We shouldn't have a break. We should just...
Because that's how people get lazy.
Oh, shit. That's right. You get complacent and then just shit starts falling through the cracks. And then before you know, you're homeless, living under a fucking bridge, eating rats for dinner.
Wow. That was... Hey, man. A little too precise to be off the cuff.
The sad thing is it was off the cuff. Reality's a cruel bitch.
Yeah. I'm Stephen Vargas.
I'm Adam Riley.
And this is the brainchild of Adam.
Much as all ideas from the... No, I'm just kidding.
And this was actually started as a joke on, what was it, 184? Yeah. Where we were talking about how... Because Adam got on the Star Trek kick again. And he's been just watching all the Next Generation. And he was just like, we should totally do one. Like, we should totally do a Star Trek. And I was like, yeah, that'd be kind of funny. And then after thinking about it, I'm like, that would be kind of cool because... You have all these different Star Trek pods that deal with like the rumors or story or just, I don't know, you know, whatever news that's floating around the Star Trek universe, which, believe it or not, there's not a whole lot.
No, and it's all unless it's pertaining to a movie.
Right. And it was kind of like, well, you know, that would be kind of cool to just go back and to start the Next Generation and just kind of, it's kind of a pet project, really.
Well, that was like my thing. Like, I was like, okay. I've listened. I always try to listen to Star Trek podcasts, but it just ends up with people really talking about nothing because there's nothing really going on.
Yeah.
Because no one's talking about the reboot movies. There's nothing really to talk about.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, shit, the first two movies, they barely left Sector 001.
Right.
There's really nothing to talk about. But what you have is you just have huge fans who do these podcasts and they just talk about silly shit that happened. And it's fun, but you know, I already know pretty much what they're talking about, so I don't really care. So I thought it would be interesting. Why don't we take and we'll start at fucking season one, episode one. And we'll just talk about that episode. And the next podcast will be the next episode. Now this episode's a little special because there's no point in separating Encounter and Farpoint. Because it even when it first aired, it was aired as a two-hour movie.
Yeah, it was aired as a two-hour movie.
I think it's only separated in fucking Netflix.
No,
it's not even separated in Netflix.
No, it's not separated in Netflix. Yeah. Not even on the... I think on the DVDs it might be. I don't remember.
So it just didn't make any sense to separate them. I think we'd probably do that with the rare times when Next Generation has a two-parter.
Yeah.
Just fucking do it.
Because it makes more sense. Because it's like you go right up to the break and to be continued. You know, it's like, no, you kind of want to, which means a lot of the season finales and season openers will be discussed in one podcast, most likely.
Still the most painful to be continued out of any show I've ever seen.
Mr. Worf, fire.
Yeah.
What? Fuck you.
I know. I still remember watching that, like, when it aired, and then seeing the to be continued and like screaming, going, "What? No!"
I threw everything I could reach at the television. I was so pissed off. I think I cried a little bit.
Because you're like, no, I have to wait 3 fucking months. Fuck you.
Well, I was a little kid, too. I think I was like 8 watching Star Trek.
Oh, my God.
I was terrified when I first saw that episode. I was like, what's happening? These fucking robot monsters.
Yeah, because it was the first time that you had, like, you know, the enemy kind of winning at that point, especially in a Star Trek episode. Because at that point, there was never the risk was never that high. And it was just like, what?
However, our quick discussion about that episode is just a teaser for a future podcast.
Right.
Because today, we're discussing Encounter at Farpoint.
Far less on the dramatic scale.
Yes, and not from the strongest season of the show. However,
at least this season did not end with a bottle episode, which dealt with Riker's flashbacks. So, worst episode ever.
that was a savings episode. Oh, see, yeah. Star Trek, every television series has savings episodes where they do it on a low budget to kind of, you know, put a little slack on the on everything. Star Trek, it was really, really obvious when they did. Yeah. It was always focused on just one character mostly. And like everyone else, like, had a quick role.
The ship hat was in space dock or something, so there was nobody on the ship, you know?
Yeah.
Like, what was that one with
Picard? There were no aliens involved.
Right. Or if there were like 3.
And, or it was Worf, which doesn't really count.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah. So in the way this podcast is going to be set up, if there's any kind of Star Trek news, we will talk about it in the very beginning, but then mostly deal with the episode. So 2 little tidbits. Did you want to go with the
yours? Yeah, so obviously most of this news is going to be about the new movies, which is fine. Nothing wrong with that.
It's still Star Trek related.
Yes, it is. So recently, Simon Pegg, who plays Scotty in the new movies, was talking about the overall tone that they're trying to achieve with the third film. As we know, the first and second had a pretty dark tone to it. I mean, Earth was almost destroyed in the first one. Vulcan was destroyed in the first one.
Right.
And then the whole thing with Khan, which I thought were both well done. I know there's a lot of criticism about both movies. The only thing that's been pissing me off about the reboot is that they never leave Sector 001.
Right. There's no exploration.
What's the point of having a fucking spaceship that can go faster than the speed of light if you're never going to leave the solar system? Right. They stop fucking around. I mean, I know they went to Vulcan, but that doesn't really count. There's nothing there. So, so Peg said, where's the quote? Here we go. We just want to take it forward with the spirit of the TV show. And it's a story about frontierism and adventure and optimism and fun. And that's where we want to take it, you know, where no man has gone before, where no one has gone before, sensibly corrected for a slighter, more enlightened generation. He's referencing they changed that in TNG because it was in the original show. It said where no man has gone before.
Yeah,
because women were,
well, technically it was supposed to be used for mankind, but because we got into the politically correct thing, people got stupid.
Yeah, and because I know back then when you said they were just trying to say humans.
Yeah,
basically. But then the 70s happened,
right? And then
too many bras were burned for that kind of nonsense.
So you couldn't sit there and say mankind again, because then it's like, well, what about women? What about kids? What about minorities? What about animals? It's like, ugh. Okay.
So where Picard, no one has gone. Picard before. Ended the bullshit and said, "Where no one has gone before, bitches."
What they cut out was happy.
Is that okay?
And then the next sound was the ping. Drop the mic after that.
I mean, that's really all he said, and
I'm really happy he's writing the script. You know, he's co-writing the script for the third film because he is such a hardcore nerd about Star Trek.
And I think he's going to bring a little bit more comedy to it too, which should always be there. But I don't know. I did say when I watched the second one, when I was done, I said, look, I'm liking these movies. I don't mind how they made the ship look, because I get it. You know, it's a 21st century. It can't look like it looked back then.
Right.
You know, it just wouldn't make any sense. 21st century in real life, by the way.
Oh, I'm writing him now. It's 23.
I mean, so it makes sense that it looks a little, you know, a little more visually impressive and stuff like that. And all the sound effects are the same. The sound effects would have got me more. If they changed the way it sounded, I would be pissed off.
Yeah, I got to admit that I was actually really happy when I heard, like, the klaxon and the phasers. The whistle or the warp drive, where it was all the same kind of sound effect. You're like, oh, cool. You know, that got me more. That made me feel better than, you know, the ships being different.
But I did say, if they don't get away from Earth, third one, I'm going to be upset. Because, and I remember talking to someone about this, and he said, well, Vulcan's, I'm like, actually, Vulcan isn't that far away from Earth.
Yeah.
They're relatively close. They're in the same sector. So that doesn't count. And like I said, there's nothing there anymore. So they went to nothing.
Right.
So I really want, and I know there's been rumors and upon rumors about rumors about the Klingons coming in. And I actually doubt that the Klingons will be the main threat in the next one, because the tone would then yet again be
dark.
Very dark, because the Klingons do not fuck around.
Right.
You know, so, and I love how they did the Klingons in that little bit in the second one. Yeah. I thought they looked dope as shit.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was like, okay, cool. I'm looking forward to that. But I think that should be put on the back burner for maybe the fourth flick.
Yeah. Maybe we'll have the Tholians.
Tholians, yeah, something like that. Yeah. There's obviously going to be fucking spaceship fighting, like, obvious. But I think there really needs to be a more complex story. And not just a complete rehash of something that already happened.
Or maybe, like, introduce the Romulans at this point.
I don't know. That's a little early on for the Romulans, isn't it? I mean, I know in the timeline, the Romulans existed before the first. Yeah,
but in the series, within the first season of the first series, they introduced the Romulans. They hadn't seen the Romulans in like over 100 years or something like that. And then they saw them and they realized that they looked like Vulcans.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But I don't know. It's all speculation. Like, at this point, they keep a pretty tight lid on the fucking Star. I'm surprised.
Yeah.
I know more about fucking Star Wars movies that aren't going to come out for 5 years than I know about the Star Trek movie. So we'll have to see.
Yeah, we'll have to see. Another one, another tidbit that came out over the last week was, somehow, again, we're hit with this, that Paramount or CBS is looking to do a new Star Trek TV series. Well, as people love to think that Latino Review is like the end all be all of good leaked news, they have not been right for a while. They're claiming that they have, you know, that they have an exclusive report saying that CBS is looking for a new series. Well, the thing is that IO9 actually dug a little deeper and said, hey, their exclusive is wrong, because they're basing it on a report that was 10 years old. And 10 years ago, there was a pitch for a TV show called Star Trek Federation, which was supposed to be about a young Alexander Kirk. And he was supposed to be the only hope for surviving a massive new threat for the Federation. And to be honest, you know, it was supposed to be set... What was it supposed to be set up in the same timeline as, like... after Deep Space Nine and Voyager, I think.
Yeah.
And there's no way they're going to do that. At this point, it's going to be all new series. It's going to be all rebooted series. And as far as the movies go, I doubt that they would do another Star Trek Enterprise movie in conjunction with the actual films. So I'm pretty sure that this is a false deal. As much as a lot of people would like to see a Star Trek one, I think we're going to have to wait a little while before that happens.
You know what I would like to see? I would like to see CBS sell Star Trek to somebody else. Because I feel that CBS, in recent history, CBS or Paramount, whichever one is pulling the strings.
Well, it's Paramount.
Missed opportunities.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, too, is that I don't see CBS actually pushing for that because their network is totally not. I mean, yeah, they have Supergirl coming on there, but I really don't see them pulling. Because, you know, for those of you that know, the original Star Trek series was on NBC. Yeah. And it's done by Paramount, or was at the time Desi Lu. But, you know.
I just don't think CBS, their heart is in it.
Maybe UPN's coming back.
You know what I mean, though. Like, imagine if, you know what? Fuck it. I'll say it. Imagine if Disney acquired Star Trek. Imagine.
Oh.
Now, of course, fans would probably shit themselves at first. But imagine what they would do with that. Look what they're doing with Star Wars.
Yeah.
You know, and I just feel like a company that values science fiction and fantasy a little bit more would give it more credit than it's due. You know, I think that, I mean, look at Enterprise. And as soon as Enterprise started becoming a good show.
Yeah, it got yanked.
They cancel it, you know, and it's, I don't know. I don't know. The movies are cool, but of course the movies are cool.
Right, right.
You know, because they're fucking action movies and they got cool actors in them and shit. But a TV show is a whole different thing. And I remember when Enterprise was canceled, I was like, wait a minute, there's no Star Trek on TV? My entire fucking life there was Star Trek on TV.
Yeah.
You know, and I was confused and a little cold. Yeah.
I felt violated at one point.
Yeah. And let's remember when Enterprise was canceled, Netflix wasn't around yet.
That's true.
So I was like, wait, no. I can't watch fucking Star Trek.
This fucking sucks.
Two of the greatest shows that UPN ever canceled, Star Trek and Homeboys in Space.
I knew that one was coming.
That show is so fucking horrible, dude. Someone asked me once, because I was talking about it, and he goes, oh, I never saw that. Maybe I'm going to check if it's on Netflix. I'm like, Homeboys in Space isn't on Netflix. Give me a break.
They burst their shit time once they canceled it.
They pissed on it first.
They erased the tape.
That was such a horrible show. You know what's funny is they promoted it as like a show for black people, like the Wayans Brothers or something. Right. You know, but I mean, the Wayans Brothers was an excellent TV show. Homeboys in Space was literally black exploitation on the worst level. Oh, yeah. It was just so bad. I still watched it because it was in space.
Right.
It's really all you needed back then for me to watch your show. But Homeboys in Space is coming back. They're going to reboot it, dude. I'm telling you. Will Smith, Samuel L. Jackson, and Denzel Washington.
Denzel Washington, Jesus. All right. Well, let's get into Encounter at Farpoint.
As you can see, my complex notes.
Yeah.
Now, real quick, when we first started doing this, I suggested to Steve. I said, "I'll make, you know, I should make a template for show notes." And he's told me, he said, "No, we don't really need that. I mean, we're just gonna." I'm like, "Oh, okay." So then, what does he immediately do? Make a really good template for the podcast and then fill it with tons of notes. I'm like, this fucking glory fucking hog dick. I knew it. So he has all these great notes, and they're fantastic. And then my section just says, oh my god, Star Trek.
Well, the thing was, is that at the time
I was like, explain your fucking treachery, Judas.
I actually thought that, like, oh no, it'd be just us kicking back talking about Star Trek. But as I was watching it on Netflix, I was like, fuck, there's a lot of shit going on, and there was like, I don't want to kind of miss anything, so I started taking notes on my phone, and just started putting him on there and doing that. And then
that's the way anyone should be watching Star Trek, is taking notes.
Right. Best comebacks, best lines if you want to just be utter dick. Yeah. Or if you want to look like a total badass, you just wait for one of those lines to drop.
Actually, why I was there was such a strong focus when I was in school on American history, but no Star Trek class. I really don't know.
And so I just started taking all these notes, and then I thought, well, I should put the, you know, a wiki up, because we want to see, like, you know, for some things that maybe, you know, we want to know behind the scenes. And then it just kind of developed from there. And afterwards, I was like, fuck, we kind of do need ones.
So I have decided, and I didn't tell Steve this because I decided it about 3 seconds ago. Before we get into our dissertation, I'm just going to give an overview of what the show, not the ending and shit, but just what the show was for, basically. Now, this one's going to be a little dumb because it was the first episode. It's obvious what it was for, but you got to do it every episode. So, right. So this was the pilot. Basically, we're being introduced to the characters, being introduced to the ship, which is every much of a character is in Star Trek as any one of the people. Very diverse. It puts the diversity is on a different level, I think, because you have Data and you have a Klingon, which they were at war with in the original series and stuff like that. We're learning about Picard and how he's different from everybody else. And basically they're going to this place called Farpoint, which is a station. They've built this station to service Starfleet, but it all seems a little bit too perfect. So there's something going on. And we're also introduced to Q, which is a godlike creature. He's also a dick, who puts humanity on trial as a savage, barbaric race that should go back. And he's basically trying to force them to go back to their star system and stop fucking around. So that's it. That's what the episode is about, without telling the ending. So
A lot of the funny thing about this episode was because it was primarily a lower budget comparative to the rest of the series. They actually redressed a lot of, like, the Enterprise bridge was the battle bridge from Star Trek. The battle bridge was the bridge from Star Trek 3.
Yeah.
Search for Spock, a redressed engineering set came from Star Trek 3. So yeah, there was a lot of that, and also some components and characters like Riker and Troy and all that were used from the unrealized Star Trek Phase 2 series that was supposed to happen with all the original actors until they did Star Trek the Motion Picture.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a lot of stories that came off of that were seen in the new series. So yeah, it was a new series, but kind of old at the same time.
There's a lot of carryovers from shit that never happened.
And Riker without a beard is weird.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Yeah. So this was one of the few episodes that didn't have a cold opening, didn't have that teaser. It went right into the credits because it was originally shown as a 2-hour movie and it was syndicated right off the bat. And actually, the premiere episode was the highest rated show of all four networks at the time. So
that's right. Fucking learn your place.
Exactly. And it's funny too, because the main theme of the show was actually used in Star Trek the Motion Picture, which I always thought was odd.
Yeah. They should have had the new one ready.
I mean, of course, yeah, we can't have, you know, it's been a long road.
That was the worst Star Trek theme ever.
I mean,
getting from there to here.
Yeah.
The visuals of that opening were kind of dope.
Right.
But the song was just bad. And in 4 seasons, why it wasn't changed, I really...
Yeah.
I think that's why it was canceled. Somebody, one of the fucking higher-ups in the network was watching one of the latest episodes of the 4th season. Are you still using that fucking song? Oh. Like, seriously? Get the fuck out of here. You're done.
Yeah, you're done. All of you, out.
Yeah.
Yeah, so one of the things I noticed early on was, you know, women wearing skirts, not quite as progressive, you know? and a lot of guys wearing skirts.
Yeah, that was odd to me. If it almost felt like they just ran out of costumes.
They ran out of pants.
And the first dude, and it's background people, but the first dude that you see in it is like a buff motherfucking dude. Yeah. Like it's not a small dude.
Yeah, he's a buff dude in the gold.
And he's walking like, what the fuck?
Yeah. He's got that swag when he's walking.
And it just isn't working because he's wearing a fucking dress.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
And it's one of the few episodes too where Troy is not showing cleavage.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Because the cleavage was very pronounced in later episodes. Because she was one of Star Trek's like that. There's always a hot chick.
Yeah.
You know, and TNG actually had how many hot chicks were on the well, three when Yar was there, because Yar was pretty cute. And then there was Crusher and then Troy. But I guess the quote unquote hot chick was always Troy, because you know the hot chick was usually useless, and she was kind of useless.
She was like the Sigourney Weaver of Galaxy Quest.
That's cold-blooded though.
But she was also hot,
right? Yeah. Now
I may have a stupid job, but I'm gonna do it.
Now Steve and I were talking about this too. Gene Roddenberry, we love him, of course, creator of Star Trek. He did the final draft of this script with DC Fontana. Now, there was a controversy, and this carried on for a few seasons until his unfortunate death. And a lot of people speculate it's because his health was failing that he wasn't really thinking clearly. And it's understandable. I mean, he had diabetes, and there's a lot of shit that was going on in his personal life. But he wanted no personal conflict between the crew.
Yeah.
And the writers basically were like, what the fuck? Because you can't, there's no drama then.
Yeah.
You know, all the drama is going to be from an external outside source.
Yeah. It's going to be external.
So I agree of that general idea only because they're a crew, so they should be working well together, but there should be something. There should be some kind of tension going on.
I mean, you know, you have the professionalism of doing your job, but at the same time, it shouldn't be all just like, oh, we're all holding hands singing Kumbaya.
Especially when you have not only a bunch of people from different places, but you have aliens that have completely different ways of approaching life, and there should be conflict. It's just going to happen.
Exactly. You
know? And Starfleet is the thread that holds it all together.
Right.
And you see kind of after the, I want to say he passed away in 91, I think.
Yeah, but he was already off the series. He was already off the series by then.
I think somewhere around the fourth, after the fourth season, maybe mid-third season, shit started getting a little more deep, and people started arguing a little bit, like, hey, fuck you, asshole. That kind of shit was going on. But the Stardate was, by the way, the Stardate was there was a couple star dates given because it was a couple days, but the first one was 42353.7. So just want to throw that out there so we know where the fuck we're at.
So one of the first scenes you see in the is Picard walking through engineering. Now if you notice in this episode, they don't really have any action in engineering. It's a lot of kind of just motion shots with like a voiceover over it, you know. Yeah. Like you have Picard, he walks kind of around the warp core, and then Worf haphazardly kind of walks in there and talks to some dude with an iPad. And
I think the opening was very much an introduction of Picard.
Yeah, but the thing was is that I remember reading that when they did the initial script, they realized that they didn't have a scene in engineering. There was no engineering scene. So they came up with...
threw it in there.
Yeah, they kind of just built this mock-up and then just had it kind of there and just threw Picard walking through and that scene with Worf. Because, you know, no action, no verbal dialogue, no scene actually takes place there.
No, he just walks through.
Yeah, and the scene with
Worf... We made the set, guys.
But the funny thing is like Worf kind of goes through there, but it's just, it's an awkward moment. Like, and that scene that happens later on in the episode where Worf goes down, because remember, Picard gives that order to not use any intercoms or anything like that. So Worf has to physically go down to engineering but like a schlub.
It makes it even more awkward. Out of all the people they could have thrown in that scene, why was it Worf?
Yeah.
He's what, second security officer? Like, I can't remember. It was lieutenant at the time, I believe. He wasn't chief of security at that time. Yar was. Yeah. Like, why don't you use that time to introduce LaForge?
Yeah.
Which I think LaForge at that time wasn't chief of engineering either.
There was no chief engineer. They had some. No. Remember later on, it was some old white fat guy.
Yeah, he was like the one who would speak for them all the time, and then he was fucking quickly ushered off.
Yeah.
Because LaForge was too much of a badass to overlook. One of my favorite characters. That dude always pulling a rabbit out of his fucking hat, dude.
Do you guys remember? I was in Roots. I
bitches.
I need to be down there. Hey, shit happen.
Hey, don't take my word for it. But you need to check in a book real quick about my skills. No, he was. I think he was one of the best on the show, but... This isn't a topic about an overall fucking synopsis about Star Trek, which I'm trying really hard not to fall into.
Yeah,
but that scene was always the opening for that. When I watched it originally, I loved it, of course. Like I said, I was a young child. But as I watch it now, you just notice that it looked like it doesn't match the rest of the fucking series at all.
Oh, yeah.
Especially, in tone or in anything.
Especially when you go... Because to me, season three was always like there. That's when it got its groove.
Yeah.
In season three. And then when the uniforms changed, you know, from season three on, season one and two always felt a little different from that.
We have to remember, too, Patrick Stewart, his agent told him this show was not going to last.
It was going to last a year.
Yeah. And he took it just like to take a trip to America, it would seem.
And he lived out of a suitcase, you know. And
exactly. So he wasn't – and his role was great. You know what I mean? But you can definitely tell that everybody was kind of just saying their lines. They weren't really – there wasn't that connection yet.
Right.
And I definitely agree with you. The third season is when that started rolling in.
Yeah. And like the first, and within that first scene, you know, we get Picard talking about, you know, Farpoint and the mystery, and then Data, it introduces Data into, you know, sneaking, you know, and it gives that, learning about humanity bit, you know, where he's like Gumshoe, you know, to Slither, you know, that kind of thing. And it's
probably the most interesting character in the entire episode is Data, just because he's so different.
But if you notice Data kind of seemed, while he did have that android quality, he did seem a bit more, he did have a little more humanity to him. Opposed to as he got, for lack of a better phrase, got stiffer as it went on.
he had more of a, he seemed more childlike than machine-like.
Yeah.
In the first few episodes. And I'm happy that Spiner kind of twisted that around. I think Spiner did a great job with that character.
Oh yeah, I thought he was
much great. Like everything else in the first season, it hadn't really got its pacing yet.
Yeah,
you know.
And the first episode's always rougher. Then of course we get introduced to Q,
who was excellent in every fucking scene he ever.
Oh, I know. And it was funny because he was originally wanted. I heard an interview with him on The Nerdist, and he said that the producers wanted him for Q. Like, he didn't even have audition.
No audition, nothing. No. He was already cast as it. Yeah. I think it was a perfect choice.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, him jumping from the, you know, where he comes on as the, what was it, the Spanish captain, you know, fleet captain. Yeah. And then, you know,
he's like an American.
Perhaps you'll know this. You need to get back home to defend yourself from the commies.
All we need is a few good men.
Yeah, exactly. And if you notice, the guy with the red jumpsuit is the first one that gets taken down.
Yeah. Which wasn't a trend that carried into the entire season, right. But I like that it was there in that first episode. Because it definitely, the original series, like if you were in a red shirt, you knew you weren't staying on this show.
And you weren't Scotty. You were dead.
Yeah.
I think, too,
and my experience with the original series, being my age and my laziness, is not as extensive as TNG, but I've noticed in TNG you start, and this was also later on, you started seeing the colors of the uniforms actually meaning something a little bit more. Like science and medical war always wore blue, and command always wore red, and command wore red. Who else wore red? There was somebody else. I think security wore red for a while, or something.
In
TNG.
In TNG, command was yellow, ops was yellow, and engineering was yellow. Red was security, and no, it was command.
That's what I'm saying. Red was command because Picard and Riker always wore red.
Red, yeah, and security was always yellow.
And then anything technical was yellow too.
Yeah. Engineering and all of that.
Specific roles. If you had a specific job, right. You wore yellow. Because Data and the Forge and all that. So it started. They actually started paying attention. The episodes that I've seen of the original series, it seemed like nobody gave a fuck.
Yeah.
Like the main characters always wore the same. I think Kirk wore a yellow uniform. I think that's why you said command at first.
Yeah.
But Red was like the throwaway characters. That's really who it was.
It was engineering and security.
Who will always die?
Yeah, exactly.
Unless you were Scotty.
Kevin Pollak used to do a bit where he would do Star Trek and he'd be like, and he would be William Shatner. He's like, Spock, Uhura, Bones, and Ensign Mendez. We're going on the landing party. Gee, I wonder who's going to die.
Yeah. And, Uhura wore red too. Uhura wore
red too, yeah.
That's racist to put her in red. Uhura, also the hot chick from the original series, because she was looking mighty fine back then.
One of the things that did annoy me when they jumped on when Q appeared was Picard's use of the word costumes.
Even
when we wore costumes like that, it was like, I don't know, that just hit the ear wrong. I don't know.
I think it hits the ear wrong because you're looking at him wearing a costume.
Exactly.
But I think the point that they were trying to make is that anything in the past looks silly.
Right.
Because if we look at how like Napoleon's elite military dressed, it looks fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
But to them it didn't.
Right.
You know, and what we wear, what our military wears now is going to look ridiculous in the 24th century. You know, so I think it was just trying to play on that point, but the way he said it made it sound like so insulting. Like,
yeah. Go ahead.
No, it's because like that is how our military dresses now. So it's like, hey, fuck you, Picard. You know, watch your tone.
I know, right? Dude, chill out. It would have been funny if Q said, "Okay, first you need to lower that bass in your voice."
Yeah, I'll need you to take the bass out of your voice real quick.
To me, in this first episode, Yar was super annoying.
Yar was usually super annoying.
Yeah, I'm glad Worf became the chief.
But the thing with Yar, though, is I always have to say this. I always thought her character was annoying, but I liked the actress. I think she was a good actress.
She did better when she became the Romulan. When she became wizard. What was the name? Fuck, I can't remember that Romulan character's name she became.
I forget why she even left the show in the beginning.
It was something to the effect that she just didn't feel her character was going to go anywhere, which I saw that too.
Yeah, but a lot of that was the writing too, I think. Yeah. I think she just wasn't given a chance to be in. But the problem too is you had Worf standing next to her the whole time, who looks so obvious to be the... Not because he was a man, but because he's a fucking Klingon. Like, of course,
and a Klingon man.
Yeah, I thought Yar was fine. But the sad thing is when her best episode is the episode she dies in.
Right.
You know, there might be an issue there. Not her best performance was when she was given her own eulogy.
Right. I know. Right. One of the things that this one bugged me too, because like I was sitting there and I was like, why does the flagship of the Federation have families?
Well, I think it's because it was always – it's not a warship.
Yeah, but you're
right. It's supposed to be a fucking diplomatic and exploration ship that can defend itself if it needs to.
Yeah, but you can – you know, shit gets real.
No, I agree. I don't think any – I mean, that's like saying you have like a fucking modern destroyer and there's, you know, kids running around. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
You know, but I think they did that just for story purposes, because now you can do children episodes.
Yeah, but if you notice though, like you know, as the series got on, they didn't focus much on that.
No, they didn't at all.
And even when they, when, you know, when they went from Generations to First Contact, it went strictly back to, like, they got rid of that whole family concept.
And any time there was an episode with children in it, it was more just a Picard episode.
Yeah.
And his challenges with children.
Yeah.
Or it was a Crusher episode.
Right.
Because
right.
Crusher loved children.
Yeah.
The only child they really focused on was Wesley, and that doesn't really count.
Right, because he's part of the main crew.
Yeah. acting ensign and then ensign and all that bullshit.
Exactly. Acting ensign and, you know. So in this episode, for those of you that know Star Trek, Miles O'Brien makes his first appearance, but he's not Miles O'Brien yet.
That's my dog. I fucking love Miles O'Brien, dude.
Dude, when they started fleshing his character out and, you know,
especially in Deep Space Nine.
Dude. Oh, yeah. You know, you like him. Yeah. Like, he's Irish, you know.
Yeah. I remember the episode, and yeah, I'm going off track. I really don't care. It's my podcast. the episode where he was eating dinner with Keiko, and Keiko's giving him this, like, super healthy fucking Japanese food or whatever. And then the next scene, he's making a potato fucking casserole. And he asked her, he's like, why don't we make breakfast? Have some corned beef hash and some bacon. And she's like, for breakfast? I was like, yeah, motherfucker, corned beef hash. I connected with him.
I know, I bet.
He wanted to eat what I ate when I was a kid. You know, it was cool. But yeah, I don't know why we're mentioning this. It's the first episode for all of them.
Well, yeah, but, you know, like, Miles...
But he's just too cool not to mention.
He's too cool not to mention because he becomes a big part of the Star Trek universe. You know, he's...
Yeah, he does.
You know, he's the chief engineer of Deep Space Nine, you know?
He was one of those characters, too, that he got very little play in the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he was just in Transporter Room 3 all the fucking time. And then he started, like, slowly, he had roles going on and more lines. And I think they were sitting on a gold mine in the beginning and they just didn't realize it.
Yeah, and then, when they brought in, you know, Keiko, and then when he got married and just all of that stuff. And then when you watch Deep Space Nine and Picard, you know, being in Transporter Room 3, you know, transporting O'Brien to Deep Space Nine, it's like that was like, oh, you know, because he was
like the most important secondary character in the whole series.
Oh yeah,
him and Guinan.
Yeah,
you can argue, but
but you know, one thing, and this leads to the reason why he comes up is because they have to go to the battle bridge because they're trying to get rid of Q, get away from Q.
Yeah, he works ops.
Yeah, and which was funny because I'm like, really, you're gonna try to outrun something that can do that? Okay.
They just wanted to show off that the damn galaxy class starship could separate.
It didn't seem that dangerous to me. Like, they made this whole big deal. It's like, not advisable at any speed.
That's the funny thing. It's always not advisable to separate the ship at warp, but every time they separated the ship, they did it at warp.
Yeah.
I think the next time they separated, like, warp 9.2, I'm like, fuck, Picard, chill out, dude.
Get the shit out of here.
Just to add tension, you know.
Yeah.
But it was pretty big. You got to admit, when you first saw that ship separate, you were like, what the fuck?
Yeah, oh, I know.
It's so dope.
It was – when I first saw it, was like, whoa, that was cool. But then later on, as you look at it, you're like,
it's not necessary.
It's not – one, it's not necessary. And two, okay, it's to separate so you can get people out of there. But why have them there anyway?
Yeah. I think the most necessary – the two most necessary times separating
– and to put Worf in charge of the saucer section. That was a
need to put him in charge of the battle bridge.
Exactly.
But the only two times it really made sense to me, unless my memory's failing, is when they did it with the Borg.
Right.
Because they were trying to make two targets. It was a risk, but it worked. Yeah. And in the movie.
Yeah, Generations.
Like in the movie was when they really made sense to do that.
Yeah, that was in the movie, that was really cool when they did it, and then when it crashed and all that, just to blow up later on, but you know.
Still,
yeah.
We're saving lives. Yeah.
What I liked was there was one part where Yar goes, I suggest we fight. And then he looks at her and he goes, fight an enemy that can do all of that? But I'm willing to hear your suggestions. I was like, damn. It's like
it's a straight boss, dude. Like, he's like
he backhands her, picks her up, and then says, what do you have to say? I'm ready to listen now.
He literally, like, if we translated that into modern don't give a fuck English, he basically said, can you shut the fuck up? Now do work. Like, it was so fucking badass because
sandwich.
it really put in. It really showed that Picard had control of the fucking situation.
Yeah.
Because most people, if someone told you, Steve, hey, shut the fuck up, but tell me what, you'd be like, fuck you, I ain't telling you shit. Kiss my ass, motherfucker.
Exactly.
So that was a cool little scene. It also, too, like, that was one of the biggest problems. That really showed off one of the biggest problems with Yar, is that she never thought about anything. It was always, like, jumping in.
I think, you know, that was the misconception of a security officer. A security officer is tactical, is, you know,
is not an idiot.
Yeah, is not sitting there going, Leroy Jenkins. Right. You know,
now
which
they
would have been
have...
hilarious if you heard Worf do that as he goes into a battle.
Now they did have Worf when he took over. He did do that sometimes.
Yeah.
He didn't do it every time. But it made more sense because he was Klingon. That's how Klingons are.
Exactly.
You know, they fight before they think.
Right.
You know, but Picard always kept him on a short leash. Like, hey, fucking chill out.
Puts that little muzzle on him and says, heel.
That's racist. Racist for Klingon insensitive.
Insensitive. I'm going to take those damn Klingon insensitivity courses again.
Thanks for tuning in. You've ditched the ads and would like to stay independent. We can only do that with your support. If you would like to donate to make this podcast and all the shows on the Lazy Geeks Network self-sustaining, you can go to thelazygeeks.com and click on the donate button.
And if you can't help us out monetarily, we get it. But you can also share this show with your buddies and rate the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you can. This will give us bigger exposure. All of this helps. Trust me. Just stop.
You can check out our flagship podcast, The Lazy Geeks, where we discuss being a geek in an adulting world, available where you found this one.
And if you want to be a part of the show, hit us up on the comments, questions, or if you have ideas for future episodes, you can go ahead and catch us up on the social media, you know, the Facebook, the Twitter, and the Instagram, all under at The Lazy Geeks, or email us themailbag@thelazygeeks.com. So that is it for us this week. So until next time, I'm Stephen Vargas.
I'm Adam Riley.
Two to beam up.